I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. In 2016, a 24-year-old man in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, named Heath Otto, committed two brutal murders. He killed his own mother and his 7-year-old nephew and was charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder, charges that make him eligible for the death penalty. But Heath Otto hasn't gone to trial yet.
Since then, it's come out that over the course of the months leading up to the murders, he had exhibited really clear sort of signs of psychosis, walking into banks and talking about the CIA, throwing things, saying, "I need help."
That's Maurice Chamaux, a staff writer for the Marshall Project, and his latest piece, published today, highlights the complexities of Otto's case.
His mother struggled to get him into some form of treatment, but when they would get close to treatment, he would sort of flip the switch and refuse to go. And she was sort of in an increasingly desperate situation in the weeks leading up to this. And then this tragedy struck, and now the rest of the family is kind of picking up the pieces.
Maurice and I discussed Otto's case and how it fits into this country's handling of mentally ill people who commit crimes.
He is currently in a state hospital in South Dakota, and the question that looms over this case is whether he's going to face the death penalty. It's my understanding that the state's attorney in the town told the family that that was a possibility, and now the family, members of their family, are pushing very hard for him not to get the death penalty. And so we're waiting for his mental condition to stabilize, for this question to get resolved. And this sort of clicks in with a larger national movement and question around whether people with serious mental illnesses should face capital punishment.
This is a really unique question in that not should it be the death penalty at all, but should anyone with mental illness be sentenced to death? And I guess I sort of thought that we had already decided that as a nation, and so that hasn't happened, has it?
No, not at all. Occasionally you'll see cases where the Supreme Court will get involved over the question of someone who's been on death row for many years and who has come to exhibit clear signs of mental illness doesn't understand why they're being executed. And the Supreme Court has dealt with the question of when the execution comes up, what we should do with somebody who is in a, you know, very clear state of mental illness. But over the last few decades, the Supreme Court has also said that certain categories of people shouldn't get the death penalty. People with intellectual disabilities, people who were under the age of 18. There's this idea that criminal culpability, as we understand it, is a little more limited in certain kinds of cases when certain factors are at play. Now, as the death penalty declines overall, there are still a lot of people who would say, well, I'm not ready to abandon the death penalty for good, but I would say that it should only affect people who are clearly the worst of the worst, as defined, you know, in courtrooms or by juries. The problem is that a lot of cases involving serious mental illness are, on the face of them, very terrifying. I mean, Heath Otto tried to strangle his mother and his 7-year-old nephew with a phone cord, and then he slit their throats. When the police got there, he said that they were needing medical treatment and he wanted to put them out of their misery, you know, things that really didn't make any sense. And this is a case that, kind of on the front page of the paper, sounds very scary. But once you peel back the layers and understand what he was going through, the question is whether he should be in one of these categories of people who didn't understand what they were doing and who should be protected from this ultimate punishment.
Which states around the country are looking to abolish the death penalty for mentally ill people?
There are bills floating around the legislatures in Virginia. It passed the state Senate there, in Texas, in Ohio, and I believe in Tennessee and Missouri. South Dakota, where Heath Otto lives, this bill has come up in the legislature there, and it was very recently rejected, though it's my understanding it will come up again next year. What's going to be interesting to watch is whether South Dakota, Texas, Missouri, some of these states you really associate with having the death penalty and with really believing in it as a policy matter, are willing to carve out and say this group of people should be protected, shouldn't get the death penalty. And ultimately, the result of that will be a winnowing of the death penalty to where instead of 10 cases a year, we're hearing about 1 case a year. This is something prosecutors have said that they're concerned about. They think of these bills, these limitations on the death penalty, as kind of a backdoor effort. They think everyone will come and get a mental health diagnosis and avoid the death penalty that way. It's hard to tell whether that would happen, but I do think it's safe to say that if states start to pass these bills, just the sheer number of people facing the death penalty and getting executed every year will slowly over time tick down to where we're talking about this stuff, you know, once every 12 months instead of once every month.
A lot of what we see across the country often is that there is a dearth of mental health services. Mm-hmm. And often those who are severely mentally ill who do commit crimes end up incarcerated when often that's because of a lack of adequate medical services to committing this crime. Was that the case here?
Yes, very much so. Sioux Falls, South Dakota is a small town. South Dakota is one of many states where people who need to go to a state hospital and take one of the beds there wait a very long time for it. Heath Otto himself never saw a therapist, and his family was trying to get him help. Now, part of that was that there weren't a lot of mental health resources, especially outpatient. Part of it was also that the laws are written in a way that really defers to the wishes of the person at issue, unless they are deemed a threat to themselves or others. Police can't just go and take them and commit them, which on the surface sounds like a good idea. But in this case, his behavior was increasingly erratic, increasingly scary and concerning to his family, and they wanted him to get help. And there was very limited kind of outpatient treatment options in their part of South Dakota.
And how often are mentally ill criminalized when what they need is mental health services? Do we know?
There's all kinds of data tracking this. For the most part, we know that with the rise of sort of deinstitutionalization in the 70s, the emptying of mental health institutions, jails and prisons became kind of the de facto institutions for people with those sorts of health issues. So, you know, the sheriff of Chicago has said, you know, I basically run a mental health facility, not a jail. And you see this in a lot of jails and prisons, that there are just lots and lots of people, diagnosed, undiagnosed, whose behavior grew erratic and whose ability to kind of fit into society was challenged. And so they ended up committing a crime, whether a small one or a big one in this case, and they ended up in prison.
It's not an easy thing to talk about, but what ends up happening to Otto?
So Heath Otto's family would like for him to be confined to a state hospital. They told me, frankly, that they don't think that their loved one really will ever be safe out on the street again. But they think that if he were to be saved from the death penalty but go to a general population prison, that he would not get the kinds of help that they think that he needs to stabilize. Already, he's been in a state hospital for a couple of years, and they told me it's taken quite a while for him to have the medication and the routine such that he, you know, at least in a day-to-day way, can kind of take care of himself. And then once his condition stabilizes, the court will determine whether he's competent to stand trial. And at that point, the state's attorney, Aaron McGowan, in Minnehaha County in South Dakota, will have to decide whether to seek the death penalty in the case. Several of his family members are begging the state's attorney not to, though his sister, the mother of one of the victims, the 7-year-old Braden Otto, does want the death penalty, thinks he knew what he was doing, and deserves this ultimate punishment for it. So it's a very complicated family dynamic, but this very painful drama will come to play out in a courtroom. And if he does not get the death penalty and the prosecutor does not allow him to be contained in a state hospital, then he will face effectively life in a regular prison.
Maurice Shema is a staff writer for The Marshall Project. You can read his latest story on themarshallproject.org, released today. Maurice, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, we need your help. You are a big part of this show, how we think about things and how we choose what to cover. Got an idea or a guest we should talk to? Get with us on our Facebook page or call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is your takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.